Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And Brothers ready and delivers. And the pitch swung on, belted. Way back to right, forget about it. Second deck for Bryce Harper. Three-run home run. And what a night for Harper. And what a night for the Phillies.
Really.
33rd home run of the season. It is 15-8 Phillies here in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Ray. We had a few moments anyway, didn't we?
A few.
That's Fransky in L.A. Just a little bit of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the more fun moments of the Phillies season. It is now the off season, which means they got a plan for 2022. The man I want to find it out from is Todd Zielecki, MLB.com. Follow him on Twitter at Todd Zielecki. Todd, I just want to make an agreement before we have this conversation, okay?
Okay.
May we please agree that the words potential work stoppage will not be included in this talk today?
Oh, sure. We can avoid that talk.
Okay, good. Because it's like, I know it looms.
Yeah.
And I know it could ruin everything. But, you know, I don't want it to. By the way, Todd Zielecki is not only the Phillies beat writer for MLB.com, he is the author of the best-selling biography, Doc, The Life of Roy Halladay. And on December 15th, well, Todd Zielecki, Ray Dinger, Zach Berman, and I are going to do a book signing, a pre-Christmas book signing. I think that's the Wednesday night?
It is a Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, December 15th at the Conshohocken Brewing Company, Puddler's Tap and Kitchen in Bridgeport. You can get any or all of those books for your holiday recipients. All right. Todd, I just want to start with something that isn't in the roster, but was interesting to me this week, is the Phillies hired a 27-year-old guy. I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Ani Colombi. Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Formerly of the Rays, so that's already a good resume, to be assistant director of research and development. Is this something the fans should care about?
Yes, they should care about it. Now, I know that people have soured on analytics over the past few years because that was the big push, of course, when Andy MacPhail and Matt Klentak came aboard. But I will say this, the Rays, the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, all are very, very good analytics, and they consistently have very, very good teams. And the Phillies have not had a good or successful analytics department. And so they hired one of the Rays' better people to come in and lead their research and development team and also help them work together throughout the organization to use those numbers effectively. So I do think it is something that they should care about. I talked to somebody the other day who knows him a little bit with the Rays and says he is very highly regarded. And anytime they have unearthed one of these random, who cares, pitching, relievers, unheralded relievers.
Yeah, they do it.
His name is consistently mentioned as, well, he played a role in this. He saw something here. He helped us identify this guy. And so for that reason, yes, I think it is an important hire.
Todd, getting on the analytics thing, just follow up on that. Where do you think the Phillies, and I think you're absolutely right, I mean, there was the big push under MacPhail and certainly under Klentak that the Phillies, they felt like they had not done enough analytics stuff in the Amaro years. They wanted to change. They wanted to get kind of current with what everybody else was doing. So the Klentak hiring was absolutely about that. And they tried to really build up the analytics department. But now they brought in Dombrowski, who was clearly more of an old-school baseball guy. And while he sort of pays lip service to the idea, yeah, I think analytics is important and it has its place, blah, 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 I just wonder, when you look at this organization, is there sort of a conflict there between the hiring of Dombrowski and what I suspect is probably still a certain analytic sensibility within the building?
Yeah, I think so, because I think if push comes to shove, Dave will put more value in the opinions of his scouts. But he hired Sam Fold as his general manager, and I think Sam is kind of the yang to the yin there, so to speak. And Sam is very much a believer in analytics. You know, he plays with the Rays for years. And so I think they kind of work together. Like, Sam is always in Dave's ear, like, well, you know, here's what the numbers say. This is why it's important. And I have no doubt that while, you know, they looked at this analytics department, they said, well, you know, we're clearly falling short here. Like, we are not identifying these guys, these unheralded guys, to come in and help this team. I think Sam had probably a big part to do in bringing this guy in, Colombi from the Rays, because they do see value there. And I think he's going to kind of force, not force Dave, but he's always going to gently remind Dave that some of these numbers do matter as we scout players and try to make offers to players and make trades and sign free agents.
All right, let's talk about guys, names of actual players right now. Now, John Middleton has shown he is certainly not reluctant to spend big money on top free agents, with Real Muto, with Wheeler, with Bryce Harper. There are some really top-notch, high-priced free agents out there. I mean, let's just look at shortstop. Carlos Correa, who I love. Trevor Story, Corey Seager.
Yeah.
Phillies need a shortstop. Todd Zielecki, which one of those three they're going to get?
I don't think they're going to get any of them.
No,
Glenn.
No.
Let me say this. I don't think they're going to get any of those guys. But it would not stun me if something suddenly reversed course and somebody had to change their heart and John Milford didn't say, you know what, just go for it. But when you look at this team, they absolutely need a left fielder. They absolutely need a center fielder. They absolutely need a closer and probably a couple more reliable relief pitchers. They need another starting pitcher because Zach Eflin might not be back until May. So those are all holes that you absolutely need to fill. They could use a shortstop. They need to upgrade at shortstop. There's no doubt. Didier Gregorius had the worst year of his career last year. He just had a minor elbow procedure that they think will help. But when you look at all those other things, Dave Dombrowski last week at the winter meetings, he really talked up Bryson Stott, like, to the point where he was gushing about the guy and said publicly, I told Bryson Stott at the Arizona Fall League, come to spring training prepared to win a job. Like, that's your goal. This is not, you know, come in, get a little experience, we're going to send you down to AAA. So, no. Come into camp trying to beat out Didi Gregorius for the job. So if you put all of those things together, while it would be amazing to have Corey Seager or Carlos Correa or Trevor Story or Marcus Semien, does it make the most sense for the Phillies when they have all of those other holes to fill? So that's why I think that they probably will look and invest their resources elsewhere.
I get that. I looked last night in preparation for this at the MLB list of scouts, right? MLB prospects. He's number 97 prospect. It's not like he's a top 10. It's not like not like he's a Dominic Brown can't miss. Whoops, that didn't help.
Yeah. It's not, well, see, there you go. That's how much we're putting in stock in the rankings sometimes. Sometimes these top 100 guys end up being better than the top 10 guys. So, but I totally get what you're saying, and there's still this question of, can Bryson Stott even be an everyday shortstop defensively? Is his first step quick enough? The Phillies are saying, yes, we believe that he can be an everyday shortstop. But, you know, of course, they said that, yes, we believe Alec Bohm could be an everyday defensive third baseman. And so far, that hasn't worked out exactly the way they wanted it. But then there's also this fact. They just have to take a shot on some of these young guys to step up at some point, because you can't drop $100 million on every position because your farm system hasn't developed enough talent. And that's kind of what's been going on the past few years.
I was going to ask a question about Alec Bohm, but I have to preface that by asking the other question. Is, what do you think the status of DH is in the National League? Do you think it's coming? Because if DH is coming to the National League, then that clarifies a few things about the Phillies right now. If it's not, then I think there are other questions that need to be asked.
I do think the DH is going to come. You know, it almost sounds like teams are preparing for that as an inevitability. Like the, even Dave Dombrowski said last week, he's like, "Yeah, you know, this, you know, we get a long way to go with the CBA, but I fully expect the DH to be here in 2022." It's you know what I mean. It's so it's not official, but everybody almost thinks like, "Well, that's the one thing that is going to happen to the CBA is that they are going to have a DH."
And if they do, then that creates, and I saw Dombrowski said he doesn't view it as, I guess it was Dombrowski that said he didn't necessarily view the Phillies locking themselves into a one-man DH that'll rotate around, and it'll be a way to rest some guys, to rest Real Muto, give him some DH time.
Right.
But it would seem to be a way to kind of clarify the, you know, the Bohm-Hoskins situation, because I got to tell you, Todd, I don't think Alec Bohm's ever going to be a third baseman. I mean, I know Dombrowski said, you know, well, you know, he had a little bit of a rough time, but we still think he can work on him. I just don't think he can play the position. I just don't think he has the build for it. I don't think he's got the right size for it. I don't think he has the hands for it. You know, I think if he's anything, I think he's a first baseman. You know, and right. if you get the DH, then you know he and Hoskins can alternate off and on about who's going to play first base. They can probably both play there adequately, but keep the, both their bats in the lineup. Otherwise, I just don't know if you can play him.
Yeah, I mean, that is and you're not the only one to say that, you know, he's not going to be an everyday third baseman. I think there are people inside the organization that privately will say, I just don't think he can play there. So if they do have the DH, that certainly is an option. You can maybe have him DH more often than not, and that kind of goes back to the shortstop situation. You know, say Didi's elbow really was a problem last year, and that really affected the way he hit and played defense. And say Bryson Stott continues to play like he has this past year, which is really, really well. There's some talk that, you know, Didi could move over to third, being upgraded a little bit defensively at third. You have Bryson Stott play some short. Then you have Bohm, Hoskins, Harper, Real Muto all kind of like rotate throughout that DH spot, including Didi Gregorius potentially.
All right, Todd. So let's close with this. The most exciting addition to the Phillies roster between now and the start of next season will be?
Boy, I think the most exciting one would be a middle-of-the-order bat. Now, Dave Dombrowski said the other day that he really wants a closer, a big-time closer. I don't know how excited.
It's wasted money.
Yeah. I don't know how excited. Like, if they say they go out and they sign Raisel Iglesias or they make a trade for Craig Kimbrel, I don't know how excited fans are going to get for that. I think they'd be more excited for a big bat because people love offense. So I think Nick Castellanos in left field, I think he would be perfect for this lineup. A big-time power bat, a corner outfielder. I think if they would go out and get him, fans would be really excited.
Yeah, can't field the damn, but boy, he sure can hit.
He can hit.
Yeah, he can hit. He can, and that would be a nice bat to protect Harper, no question about it. All right, so Todd Zalecki along with Ray Dinger. Todd, you lined up Zach Berman, right?
Mm-hmm. I did, yeah.
There you go. And I will be doing a pre-Christmas book signing December 15th at the Puddler's Tap and Kitchen by Conshohocken Brewing Company on DeKalb, right in Bridgeport, right across the bridge from Norristown. We'll give you more details as we go on, but I'm really looking forward to it. Todd, we had a fun time last time we were there. You sold a lot of books, and let's be honest, Todd, you drank a lot of beer.
I did. That was a great time, and I think the people that came had a great time, too. It was a very fun atmosphere, so I hope everybody comes out again on December 15th.
Terrific. We'll talk to you between now and then. Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Todd. Take care.
I just think they have so many holes to fill.
Oh, they do.
That they're going to have to get lucky along the way. And,
yeah.
And they have not had great success in signing that guy. You know, he's going to be our fifth starter this year. We're only paying him $6 million. He'll be fine. And then they just stink. And, you know, all the parade of relievers they brought in for the last 2 years, they're just awful.
I know.
They have new scouts, right? So now new scouts, new development team. So you hope the new scouts can recognize something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been painful the last 2 years. I mean, especially now that you've got a manager that goes to the bullpen all the time, you know, and you've had a bullpen where you can't rely on anybody really for 2 years.
Nope.
I mean, it's very hard to win that way.
Yeah. Jim in Northeast Philly wants to talk about Dave Dombrowski. What's on your mind,
well,
Jim?
Actually, I was so glad that some of my questions were answered about Dombrowski. First of all,
You need to have a good baseball IQ and make good decisions, like the Atlanta Braves under manager made one of the greatest trades ever, got four outfielders. They only spent, what, $10 million in salaries, gave up average prospects. I mean, that takes a good IQ. First of all, Dombrowski says that Bohm should be their permanent third baseman. Well, he can't catch, so sometimes you have to part with something and say, I want to use my brain, get somebody that's going to contribute really well. Then, like you mentioned about the closer, we need a middle of the order bat, and he has almost, what, 30 years experience? And it's embarrassing to see the Braves make better, more intelligent moves than what Dombrowski is.
I agree that they were caught sleeping, that he was caught sleeping. But, Ray, you are of the mind, and you were probably correct. You were certainly proven correct that the Phillies, they could have made those trades, and they still wouldn't have contended with the Braves.
Yeah. So
Braves got hot at the right time.
Yeah.
Braves had the pitching. Phillies never had the pitching.
No.
And, you know, the Phillies didn't give up resources, not that they had much to give up.
Right. And the Braves wound up winning the whole thing. I mean, it was a masterstroke by their front office. I mean, you look at the injuries, you look at the players, the key players that went down, and to weather that and to go on and not just make the playoffs but win the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why the Braves are a great organization. That's why they stay on top year after year.
Yeah. The Braves, Tampa, I mean, there are certain teams that always do it. And, again, it has not been the Phillies, but I can't blame Dombrowski because he came in, he looked around for a year, and then, what was it, July, August, he just blew out all those guys.
Right.
And, they, you know, a lot of people say, how do you blow out all those people? They've been with the organization forever. Well, that's why you're blowing them out.
Right.
And you just hope the guys he's bringing in know what they're doing, led by this 27-year-old wunderkind that they got from Tampa.
Well, they can't do any worse, can they?
No.
If you're talking about your minor leagues and what you sign, what you develop or don't develop, and what you get from it, I mean, they can't be much worse than they've been for the last 10 years.
They now have the longest playoff dry spell in Major League Baseball.
Right.
Yeah, that's not good. Sawyer in Fairmont has thoughts about the Eagles draft. What's up, Sawyer?
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
Good. So first, I am excited about the game today, but I think I'm more so excited about the black pants and the white jerseys. That'll be cool.
Hold on. I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm hoping that you're entirely sarcastic. So here's the thing. You know how in the NFL teams like have alternate jersey uniforms, and I think it's, what's it called? Not the hot one, the I forget. There's a name for it that the league uses, right? Uh-huh. Remember a couple of years ago on Thursday night, teams were wearing like
the Color Rush?
Yeah, the Color Rush. Thank you.
Yeah.
The Eagles' Color Rush is black and white. That's the Color Rush today. Yeah. White jerseys, black pants. And the Eagles are on. Yeah, look at Ray's. For those who don't know, Ray's face is like a nose scrunch with like a raised left eyebrow and a curled lip of disbelief. Yeah.
They're white jerseys and black pants?
Yes, that's the Color Rush. That's it today. That's it. And they've been pumping this on social media like they just discovered gold in Fremont, California. Oh, yeah. This is like, oh, you can't wait to see this. Apparently Sawyer's in.
I mean, I do it on Madden all the time. I thought it's something different. Like they know that these fans we need something to like, you know, something cool to look at.
Yeah.
I want them to do green on green though. But I think that would be really sweet.
Right.
Just
wait.
Pick some things up.
Sorry,
anyway.
I'm gonna take a little time out and I'm gonna keep you for your draft talk, but Ray looks so befuddled that I just want to slow play whatever Ray has to say here.
I don't get it. I don't get the whole black thing. Like, a lot of people, the all-black uniform that they wear on national TV sometimes, like, black is not part of their color scheme. It's not. Their colors are green and white. Colors are green and white or green and silver. That's been their colors from, not the first year. The first year they wore those other uniforms.
We saw that once.
But in year two, they saw the error of their ways, and they went to green and white or green and silver. And that's been their color. That's been their colors all these years. Black is not one of their colors.
They got to choose what they wanted to do today.
Mm-hmm.
White jerseys, black pants.
Okay. Well, what's on their helmets? What are their helmets?
Normal helmets.
Well, wait a minute. That doesn't fit either.
I don't know.
There's some black in there.
I mean, Jeff Lurie's explanation for why they can't wear Kelly Green is because the Kelly Green clashes with the current helmet.
Black and white go with everything, right? My wife tells me that. She knows about fashion.
I'm checking out.
Ray's checking.
I checked out. Sorry. I'm done.
Ray, I'm done. Ray just gave a big wave that he's out. So go ahead. What do you got in the draft, Sawyer?
Yeah, so with the draft, you know, they had these three picks, and I have a question for you guys. What are the chances you think that they trade maybe one or two of the picks? Personally, I want to keep all three, and I want to go defense, unless maybe you try and go after, like, Russell Wilson. Other than that, like,
I don't want. Why do you want Russell Wilson? You're too far.
I mean,
away.
I don't. But I would. It makes sense. Like, I guess. Like, if you're gonna trade some of your picks, like, I guess you can get Russ. But like, I like Jalen Hurts. I think you give him a second year, and I think you use all three picks on defense. You get Kyle Hamilton, maybe Derek Stingley, if you can. Maybe Andrew Booth out of Clemson, that linebacker out of Alabama. There's so many guys on defense that, like, I'm so afraid that Howie is just going to trade two of these picks, maybe all three. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, and it's making me super nervous because I want defense, all three picks, and I want to know what you guys think.
I want them to take a middle linebacker, a weak side linebacker, and a strong side linebacker. But
you don't,
I'm with you in that I want all defense. That's exactly that's what I want.
No secondary?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm overspeaking it. If they drafted a safety or a corner, any position on defense, but yes, all three defense works for me. I'm not going to worry about what Howie's going to do yet. I mean, it's November. Sawyer, if you could bring back any one player, who would you bring back for today's game?
Well, since we're talking about defense, I can't think of a cornerback that we've had that's been a stud besides maybe Darius Slay. So I think I'm going Asante Samuel.
Oh, okay. I might have gotten a different name there, but I like.
There you go.
I turned off me, not him. I like the theory behind it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, I'm going to show you a picture of the unis today. I know you want to see. This is week 10. That's the, can you see? It's the white jersey, still with the green letters and the black pants.
Uh-huh.
As Merrill will probably call them, the slow black pants. What do you think, Ray? Excited?
No.
Sawyer was excited about it.
I can tell he is.
The fan base is.
The social media crowd's all whipped into a frenzy.
They're a Twitter, pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mosh got thumbs down. As Mosh sits there in a black jersey, he's giving thumbs down.
I see. I don't.
Look at you. You can't. You're wearing a black jersey. You can't weigh in here.
Black jerseys look good, but I think that combination of white jersey with black pants looks ridiculous.
What's so funny is, I don't know what the limitations are, but it's called the color rush.
And I thought this was just an alternate combination. Color rush jerseys.
Maybe I'm misstating it.
It's definitely not a rush of color it's black and white.
No, it's black and white, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like how you started watching football on TV. Maybe that's what they're going for. 1957 television.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
All right.
Just go win the game, okay?
I love it.
Just go win the game.
Your reaction was classic. 215-592-9494. Eagles, Denver. We'll give our picks later in the show. We're going to review some NFL games in the 12 o'clock hour. Lots going on. And you can win a pair of tickets to see me, along with 31 very talented people, in the classic Anything Goes at the Players Club of Swarthmore. You can pick your date anytime between November 25th and December 11th for tickets. And I hope people come out and see me, right? You've seen me in these plays.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen you in your underwear. I guess I will this time.
All right. Well, I didn't know that I was going to throw that in, but I will. There is a scene that I do alone on stage in a silk bathrobe and silk boxer shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Singing a song solo.
Mm-hmm.
So just for that, hopefully you didn't kill ticket sales.
Personally, I can't wait.
Good. I'm glad.
I don't know that I speak for the entire audience, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'm trying to push some product here. You know that.
And you're doing a fine job of it.
PCStheater.org. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.